Okay, hey Comedy Film Nerds fans. Yes, thought you'd never hear from us again, but you kept us in the feed just in case, didn't you? So much appreciated. Before we ended on in December, I did threaten that I would restart my Kickstarter, so I did want to mention that, but I also want to talk about possibly some pandemic movies now that we're all kind of at home and unable to go to the movies. And I thought I'd bring Neil T. Weekly with me. Neil, how you doing? Can you hear through the Skype?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Wow, this audio quality is great. This is much better than being in a professional studio. So.
Well, the audio is great for us. We'll see if it works for everybody else.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. So I wasn't sure if anybody was still on the feed, but if you are, welcome. Thanks for sticking around. And I wanted to mention a couple of things. First of all, that as you know, you can kind of keep up with us at my new company is now whitecatentertainment.com. You could check it out. And of course, you can go to Graham's, grahamelwood.com if you want to know kind of what we're all up to. And Neil, what's your website or your Twitter handle?
You can find me at Film Nerd Neil, still there.
On the Twitter.
On the Twitter
On the
feed,
Twitter,
yeah.
yes. You know, the
Film
Twitter is
Nerd.
a Twitter is a great place to go for accurate information with nobody getting upset over anything, isn't it?
Well, oh yeah,
It's so helpful.
for I don't know what for.
Yeah. But I got to tell you, as I was thinking about, like, should I launch the Kickstarter? Should I launch it? I'm like, well, you know, a lot of Kickstarters, they even emailed and said, look, people are still pledging. It's not a bad time. It's one of the things that are still kind of going. So what we did is for Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master, as you know, Neil, we retooled it. We broke it up into two books.
Yeah.
And we lowered the goal, so we have until May 31st, but we're already more than halfway there. We're almost 70% there, but we need your help to get to the finish line. But the other thing we thought we'd do that would be a little different and interesting is a stretch goal where the volume one is cheaper and the pledges are lower, but a stretch goal, if we're almost at 8,000, but if we get to 15,000 for a stretch goal, you'll get volume two for free, so you get the entire story. As we were looking into the numbers, it really didn't cost a ton more for printing and shipping because that's already expensive anyway. So it's not like it doubles. So we thought, well, you know, if we can get there, people will be getting two graphic novels for the price of one. What do you think of that?
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So we got the team back together, and Rick Myers has been also recommending some great kung fu movies for all of us to watch. And I've actually been watching some of those during the stay-at-home orders. So let's get into what we've been watching. The first pandemic movie that I watched at home, and this is one that I actually missed in the movie theater, and I was happy it went to Disney Plus, was Onward. I found this
Yeah.
movie to be unbelievably fantastic. I thought it was really, really great, and I didn't think it would be as good as it was. I'm like, ah, it's kind of be kind of funny, but you know, I don't know if it's gonna, you know, be in the same ballpark is like Up or something like that, but I'll tell you,
Yeah.
it just hits on that emotional level. And I will
Yeah.
say this, as from a personal standpoint, I did just recently lose my father, so when that emotional scene, you know, when they referenced them losing their dad, I was like, it kind of hit me a little harder than I was expecting. So it was emotional on a number of different levels. The family loved it, and because we're all in a pandemic, everyone watched it at different times. I think my son and I watched it, and then I think my wife watched it, and then I think my daughter watched it all separately. So I was thinking how much money that actually saved.
Yeah.
Because if we go to the movie theater, it's 10, that's not 10 anymore. It's 12 to 15 a ticket, you know, plus if we get dinner and, you know, the kids always want snacks and popcorn. So you're looking at easily, it could go over $100 for a trip to the movies for a family
Yeah.
of four. And
Yeah, sure.
I got the Disney Plus streaming, that where it's I think what it's I got it with a 3-year deal, so I'm paying like what $4 or $5 a month now for 3 years. So
Yeah.
savings saved for sure. But the
Yeah.
movie itself, I thought it was really good. I didn't expect it to be as emotional as it was, and I didn't expect it to be as well crafted as it was with the fantasy elements, because I'm a big fantasy nerd, as you are as well.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, and even the references to Dungeons and Dragons, I remember playing as a kid in my basement many, many years ago. I'm like, a gelatinous cube? Of course I know what a gelatinous cube is.
Well, even I know what a gelatinous
cube is. Yeah. So now,
it's a great moment, too, when it shows up.
Yeah, it was great moments. And also, I was worried, too, like, when you have stars that are too big, like Chris Pratt and Tom Holland, sometimes that takes away when you put them in an animated movie, because you only hear them and you don't hear the character. But Pixar just gets it right. And even though they're giant, huge stars and I could hear them and picture them, I still was engaged with them as characters. So I could kind of turn that off, which was really good. There was a lot of great moments, a lot of great characters, and, you know, just a really nice, fun and emotional story. So I feel like it checked all the Pixar boxes.
Yeah, I agree. I think I liked it more than I thought it was going to. I have to agree 100% on the emotional impact of the film. Also, I think the brother dynamic was really amazing. And it was a lot of fun and had the emotional impact that you expect out of pretty much any Pixar film. I think the emotional thing was particularly strong, obviously, like the Toy Story sequels, a couple of those were particularly strong, and this was absolutely up on that level to me. So
I completely agree.
Yeah, I concur with your assessment.
I agree with you agreeing with me.
Well, it's easy when, you know, Pixar makes a great film. It's almost impossible to, you know, you can't really nitpick and find fault, because they really know what they're doing. They're just so good at making these films. So
absolutely. Yeah. And now, what was you pick a pandemic movie? What have you seen?
I watched a couple of things that I missed when they came out the first time around. I saw one of them, the Coen brothers' Hail Caesar.
Oh yeah.
Which I really enjoyed a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably not one of Coen Brothers' more popular or what more well-known or mainstream type films, I guess. But Coen Brothers, as we've said before, you know, a mediocre Coen Brothers film is better than most other films anyway.
Really fun movie. I agree. Yeah.
I would not call this the mediocre one. It would just be a lesser known and for some reason less commercially, I don't want to say viable, but like most, I don't know if most people saw it, but
it didn't
make a fortune. Less people saw this one than I think a lot of the Coen Brothers movies, but especially if you're a film fan, it's a really great, historical period of the 1950s in Hollywood. And
it's a love letter to old Hollywood for sure.
Yeah. And still just got really just funny sequences in this film about, you know, a little bit of McCarthyism and just the way old Hollywood protected and cultivated their stars' outward celebrity.
Yeah.
if you love film and particularly even golden age stuff like the 50s, man, it's a really great movie. And if you love the Coen Brothers, it's a really great movie. So, I mean, it's a great cast all the way around.
Oh, you can also see Comedy Film Nerds writer Alan Havey in the movie, too.
Yes, absolutely. That's great. And the producer's table, that's great. I was like, holy crap, it's Alan Havey.
Yep. He did a great job in it, too.
Oh, yeah, he is great. I mean, it's really fun. It's a fun Coen Brothers movie, and I, you know, highly recommend it.
Especially now, I'll drop a little trivia on you here. It was a love letter to Hollywood, but the character of Eddie Mannix, Josh Brolin's character, actually did exist. So what was interesting about it is they based it on him, but they changed a lot of what really happened and what he was really like anyway. So it made me think, well, why bother? You don't have to actually base it on a guy if you're going to change everything kind of anyway. it doesn't really make sense. Just make it fictitious. It's okay. You know, we'll still go with you on the journey. No one's checking.
Like, I didn't know he was a real guy, so it wouldn't make a difference to me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I don't think you gained anything by, you know, naming him after a real person.
Yeah.
So the next one I saw was, and this is the one that Netflix hyped the shit out of because everyone was freaking home, was Extraction.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, big budget action movie set in India starring Thor, and they kept...
Hemsworth, big.
Yeah, they kept, it's the Avengers people who made it. Not really. They produced it, and maybe one of them helped a little bit with the writing, but this really felt like a hands-off affair for the...
Sure. Somebody said, you know, let's get them to produce it, and that'll be a big boost. You know, and it's Netflix, so you'll be that kind of ploy is
unusual. Yeah, it was one of the stunt people or the stunt coordinators that then they bumped up to director for this film. So yeah. it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, it's a Netflix film. They're certainly not going to be paying much attention to the script. And man, I was right. And it's really just one of those, this is a set piece after set piece after set piece after bullets after things blowing up. And, you know, you've got protagonists that can take 1,000 bullets before they finally slow down. And you've got literally every cop in India has now been murdered in the sequence of about 3 or 4 scenes.
I haven't seen it simply because I heard you talk about it. And so I'm like, yeah, I think maybe I'll pass.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, we're a little older, so we remember straight to video releases. Like, you know, you had your theatrical releases, you had your TV movies, and you had straight to DVD, and it was like sequels with a quarter of the budget of a theatrical film, or ones that would like do well overseas but would never do that well here, or they were just genre. It was like horror, action, but they always would do well on quote straight to video. But
yeah,
and it was one of those things where it feels like that, like a straight to DVD or straight to on demand kind of release. It doesn't feel like, oh, this could have had a theatrical release, just Netflix snatched it up. I mean, that's what Netflix wants you to think, but generally it's movies that no one else wants, or it's that kind of thing where if you have an artist with a passion project, they don't go to Netflix first because they have all these other studios wanting to grab it. What they do is the projects that no one else kind of wants or that's not a high priority for, say, the Russo brothers, then it goes somewhere else. And but Netflix has so much money, they're going to throw it at them. And it really, as much as we complain about the quality of the storytelling, it's falling on deaf ears. It doesn't matter because these movies, their audience is there. And Netflix does something interesting where a lot of times they'll just count if you see like the first 15 minutes. No, see, somebody watched the movie. And, somebody, not that somebody got bored or disgusted by it in a few days, in a few minutes. That doesn't count.
People left the room, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And just kept letting it keep playing.
I'll go make something to eat.
Yeah, yeah. I got laundry to do. So the TV the TV can watch itself.
The model itself has that sort of weird built-in quality to it. You know, you're already paying for Netflix every month, right? So now something like this, it's Chris Hemsworth, it's a lot of action. It's like that, you know, straight to video or DVD thing where if you don't price it too high, I mean, it's a built-in model for Netflix. You're already paying every month. So I'll watch that. You know, it's like you don't have any. It's like there's no way to gauge that sort of thing. It's just like, sure, we're gonna turn it on because they're already paying every month. It's not, it's not extra.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was, it was based on a graphic novel, QED, but I don't know how much it was based. Now listen to this, Neil. I pulled up IMDb. Now tell me this does not sound like a straight to DVD summary of a movie from the mid 80s. Tyler Rake, a fearless black market mercenary, embarks on the
movie. I'm sorry. I want you to go back. I want to hear that name again.
Tyler Rake.
Yeah, there you go. Tyler Rake.
A fearless black market mercenary. Of course he'd be a fearless black market mercenary.
Yeah, it should be Dolph Lundgren. Really.
Yes. Yeah. Would it be a fearful black market mercenary? No. Of course he's fearless. this really is a Dolph Lundgren movie.
Yeah. Sorry, it already spun out fantastic.
Yeah, a fearless black market mercenary embarks on the most deadly extraction of his career when he's enlisted to rescue the kidnapped son of an imprisoned international crime lord.
Yeah, it's totally from 1992. It's Dolph Lundgren. Maybe one of the characters is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And it had, you know, I will say this, it had good action. I mean, Sam Hargrave knows how to direct action. There's no question. But it was also one of those things where this could have used a little more editing as well. There were some baffling scenes in this film. Like, there was one where he gets set upon by a bunch of teenagers, and he's like, you know, he's like palm striking them in the face. This one, I'm thinking like this.
Teenagers?
And, so it's like, well, I don't know if we need to see Thor beat up teenagers in any movie. And the other thing which was interesting about it is, like, it was not integral to the plot. It certainly didn't add anything to the action. It was like, oh, yeah, set end point, set start point. We can cut this whole sequence out. No one will miss it. And yet... someone fought for it.
Yeah. Oh, boy, absolutely.
So, I don't know. Yeah. It was very. It was one of those movies where if you know what you're getting into, because I will say this, there are worse movies on Netflix.
Yeah. There's some real.
Yeah. It wasn't at the bottom of the barrel, but it was in the barrel. So.
But it was in the barrel. Might have flooded to the top.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Now, what else have you seen, Neil?
Well, again, I went back because, like I said, I saw a couple movies that I missed back in the, you know, earlier. Uh-huh. And so I also saw The Death of Stalin.
Oh, I saw that on a plane.
I like that movie.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
No, it's not, and it's. I mean, I guess the term. Dark comedy is definitely applicable.
For sure.
Because it is pretty dark in some places, but it is actually a really it was really entertaining and really watchable. Just about when Stalin dies and all of his cabinet, you know, just people, guys just under him all start scheming and vying to replace him. And it's got really just, I mean, the cast is amazing. Steve Buscemi, Jeffrey Tambor is in it. Simon Russell Beale.
It is a good cast, for sure.
Patty Considine. I mean, there's a lot of really, Michael Palin, which was great to see him. I hadn't seen him do anything in a long time. So it was great to see Michael Palin to be in this movie.
It's not often you get to see a Russian farce.
Sure.
Once in a while. They certainly talk about a limited audience. This was
for sure. And it's funny because it almost it had a weird feeling like it would have been a Coen Brothers movie. Mm-hmm. It sort of felt like it was in their style a little bit. But it's also based on the comic book of the same name. Really, I thought it was really entertaining, really dark, but funny and entertaining. And again, I'd recommend that one too, for sure.
That was a good one. And I enjoyed it as well. But it doesn't move all that quickly. It's one of those movies that you're like, you got to really be kind of in the mood to actually see this and pay attention to. But you get rewarded for it, but it's not a make dinner or... check your phone every 5 minutes kind of movie.
No, you definitely, it's a sit down and watch, but it's a, Yeah, it's not, like I said, it's sort of the opposite of
Extraction. Of Extraction, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, you won't miss a thing if you leave and come back 20 minutes periodically in Extraction.
Yeah, it might be the same scene as far as you're concerned with Extraction. Yeah. But the death of Stalin, you really need to watch. But it's worth the watch, for sure. It's really good.
One of the other things I've been doing is I got a list from Rick Myers that the artist and I have been viewing for the Kickstarter. So it's all old Kung Fu movies that we may have missed. But I'll tell you, there were a couple on there that I remember seeing as a kid on like when I was watching, like, remember the UHF channels, like Black Belt Theater, they would show those like on Saturday afternoons. And one of them was Legendary Weapons of China, which was really good. And it got to see a lot of the weapons. And one of the things that I really forgot about these movies is that as the Kung Fu and the martial arts are so good and so well done, and the camera doesn't cut, you actually get to see everything and all the action. The stories, of course, they're super paper thin. But also, I don't know if it's something in the translation or just the storytelling. Like, a lot of them, it just feels like they run out of film. Like, I don't think we have any resolution. They literally just stop with somebody either opening a door or, like, kicking through or getting into a fight. And, like, oh, no, then it just becomes up, you know, Shaw Brothers production or something, or a Run, Shaw, Run production. So it's really interesting because I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's just that one. I'm not remembering it right. I'm like, oh, no, this has been three of them now. It just feels like the just ran out of film. And we're like, all right, we're at an hour and a half to 2 hours. We're done. We gotta start shooting the next one. So I saw that one and Return to the 36th Chamber of the Shaolin. That was really good too. And I think Rick has also given me a list of ones that are kind of funny too. Like, because some of these have a healthy dose of humor to them. Like, there's the much more serious action martial art kung fu movies and kung fu movies, but these were not it. This one. Somebody's pretending to be a monk and pretending to have all these great powers, and then he gets called on it, so then he actually has to train, things like that. Really classic martial arts stuff to actually become that person he was pretending to be. And then there was one eight diagram pole fighter that had the most insane final fight at the end of a martial arts movie I think I've ever seen. Like, it had this weird dynamic where I have to tell you, because I don't know if anyone's actually going to see it. These are all on Amazon Prime in the States. You could check them out if you have Amazon Prime. But they went to this. Of course, one of the characters wants to study with the monks. That happens in almost every martial arts movie. And they're training on these wooden wolves. Like, they have these staves and sticks and weapons, and they're just practicing hitting the wooden wolves. And they're saying, well, why are you hitting wolves? It's like, well, we don't want to kill them. We want to disarm them. So they do this, of course, the kung fu magic with the poles. And then they, like, disarm the wolves by taking their teeth out of these wooden model wolves. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But then at the end, the big fight at the end, the monks start doing that with people. So they literally are taking all the teeth out of the other fighters and the people. And then, like, you know, the staves come out with, like, you know, a full set of teeth on somebody. I'm like, oh, my God, this is insane. So it's worth seeing for sure.
What was the title of that one?
That was Eight Diagram Pole Fighter.
Eight Diagram Pole Fighter.
Yes. And Legendary Weapons of China and 36th Chamber of the Shaolin. No, Return to 36th Chamber is the other one. And then the other one I saw was, and I, again, this is something in the translation. This was called Dirty Ho, H-O. Has nothing to do with either of those things. So it was just another kung fu movie with a very odd title. And it had a couple really interesting fight sequences where, like, an assassin sends somebody to kill the prince, but they're also doing wine tasting at the same time. So they're literally fighting while they're wine tasting, and it's hilarious. It's really good.
So. Oh my! What a great combination of things to put together.
Yes, it really was. So that's what I've been watching. So I just want to tell you guys too. Thanks again for listening. I hope you guys are all staying safe and sane out there. I know everyone's in a, you know, a different state, so you're in different stay-at-home or lockdown conditions. Some of you are at home and not able to go out, and some of you might be on the beach. It depends where you live. So we're just not sure. Everyone's, you know, kind of doing, you know, what their governors are telling them to. So stay safe and be careful. And Neil, any other movies you want to end on one? Do you see anything else? Or you don't make it a TV show. It doesn't matter. The Comedy Film Nerds is over. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, true enough. I was going to say, I did watch a couple of series that have been great. I don't know what we did, you know, on the Netflix. They have the season two of, I don't know if anyone's watching, Dead to Me, Christina Applegate.
I have not seen it, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And I think, yeah, people should watch that show. It was only like 10 episodes and they're 30 minutes each. It's really dark. It's darkly funny. Deals with death, but it's very good. It's a very, very good show. I highly recommend it. And I also just watched a show called Upload on the Amazon. And that's actually a pretty interesting show. It's got,
oh, that's a ripoff of The Good Place, right?
Well, I mean, it's the idea itself, I guess, is not totally. I mean, it's more, a little more science fiction than that. It's like in the future, when you die, you can be your mind can be uploaded into, like a computer simulation, and they'll create an afterlife for you.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But it is really, there's a lot of little, really interesting little details, poking fun of various things like corporate nature and how they combine to own things and,
oh, cool.
And class structure. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a little, sort of like a mystery involved as well, as to, you know, the premise of this guy dies in a driverless car accident that already sort of says a little something. And it turns out it may not have been an accident. So there's that kind of goes through it as well. It's pretty entertaining, actually. I enjoyed it.
All right. I'll have to check it out.
And just so you know, it's like a serious cliffhanger ending. So they're waiting, they're expecting a season two, sounds like.
Well,
it's good. Those are two good shows, Dead to Me and Upload, I would recommend.
Cool. Well, I will recommend, as we're on shows, The Kingdom on Netflix, Korean zombie, zombie show.
Yeah, everyone's telling me that's great, so I put that on my list to watch.
I'm trying to give people a little heads up, though. It really, really starts off where you're like, there's no way I'm going to get through this. Like, the first couple episodes, like, the court intrigue is, like, confusing. You're not really sure who's who or what's going on or, you know, who's fighting who. It really doesn't start to click until, like, episode kind of 3 or 4, and then it really kicks in. And then I watched it, like, all the way through to, like, both seasons. So it's you got to kind of get through the beginning.
How long are the episodes?
They're 3 hours each. So, no. No, I think it's typical, like, 40, 50-minute hours, you know. So, built for when people used to put commercials in between shows. So,
I would actually throw on another one on Amazon called, I think I told you about it. I had Tales from the Loop.
Yes, I'm on episode 2 of that right now.
Okay, that was another one. I thought episode 1 was kind of weird, a little bit.
Yeah, didn't love episode 1.
It's a little dense, and I thought it was a strange episode to start the series with, but they get much better and beyond that. It's science fiction, but it's really kind of drama.
Okay.
But it's another show I would highly recommend, Tales from the Loop.
Excellent. We'll check it out.
Yeah.
So, Neil, anywhere else people can find you other than Twitter? Are you... you have a presence anywhere else, or you just how many Twitter accounts?
I just have the two, but really the Film Nerd Neil one is the one used for this. And I'm on the Facebook as well.
Ah, okay.
Neil T Weekly, and I pop into the the Comedy Film Nerd one occasionally. So
yes.
I feel like I've been on Facebook a little bit more recently, obviously, because it was a lot of, you know, time of doing nothing. So it's easy to just get on the Facebook.
For sure. For sure.
You know, people throw those things out where, name 10 best albums.
Why not?
Important.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, I'll do that because I've got a few extra time.
Because we all still poke into the Comedy Film Nerd's Facebook and Twitter for sure. They're not dead feeds. We do hear them occasionally. We're still there. But I wanted to let you guys know again, the Kickstarter goes till May 31st, Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master. You could just go to Kickstarter, then type that in, Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master. We're almost there. We definitely need your help to get us over the goal, but we're very close. So we're definitely going to make it this time, but we don't want you guys to miss out either. So it's a really fun book. It's going to be great. And we definitely retooled the campaign to make sure we could make it this time. And also check out my new website, whitecatentertainment.com. You could join the mailing list there. Find out what I'm up to. I'm trying to launch a new podcast within the next month or two, but launching a website, a store, a company, a Kickstarter, and a new podcast all at once turned out to be a little too much. So
that's a lot to do at one time.
So we're spreading it out a little bit. So I'm hoping the new podcast, it's called The Quiet Journeys of Professor Atwood. It will be a scripted sleep aid / anti-anxiety comedy podcast. It'll be a hybrid of all of those things, about the main character telling stories of his adventures that should lull you off into a quiet, peaceful slumber. So that's what I've been working on, but that is a huge amount of work because it's going to have music and sound effects and narrative and all of those things. So when it does launch, it's gonna be great, but it needs more time to bake. So, but thanks again, Neil. Much appreciated. And maybe we'll periodically stop into this feed every once in a while. So keep us subscribed. It doesn't cost you anything. And then we will talk to you soon. Thanks again, everybody. Bye-bye.
You got it. See you.